I'm Drea.
I'm Meg.
I'm Tina.
And I'm Jess.
And this is Pardon My Stash. Welcome to Pardon My Stash, a podcast about knitting within the fiber arts and how awesome it is.
Woo woo!
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Before we get into today's topic, let's check out what we're working on this week. Tina?
I am working on extending the weights of my seed dot beanie. So right now I am doing the super bulky version, and I am using Madeline Tosh ASAP in the colorway Wilted. And so I did notice, in terms of Madeline Tosh ASAP, it is marked as a super bulky, but I'm going to see how this guy blooms, because right now I compared just the strand to other super bulkies that I had in my stash. And like, well, first of all, super bulky in general is just a wide array of sizes.
It's fair.
Because if you look at Hometown, and then you look at Rasta, and then you look at, you know, any kind of hand.
They're all kind of different.
They're all different. But I would say this one is probably on the lighter side of a super bulky. So I'm wondering if when this gets blocked, that this is going to bloom a lot. So I will report back in after I get further on this. I literally just cast on. So I'm just getting through the ribbing right now. So
very good. I like the color.
Yeah, it's pretty super color. Pretty. It's like a wine stained cream.
It's like a mauve, like a dark mauve.
Yeah.
So I really like it. And it's really nice to touch.
Let me touch it.
Okay. Wait, I'm going to give you the ball, because I really haven't knit much yet. Oh,
squishy.
He's squishy.
Yeah, I like her.
Don't choke me. It's on my neck.
It's on your neck.
I know, I'm not wearing my necklace today. Drea was about to take me out, guys.
No, I would never. Meg?
So, and I need to kind of excuse myself first, because I am actually working on three projects right now. The thing is that, as we said a couple weeks ago, I have different projects for different things. The one I've been really burning through right now is the Owl Nouveau cowl, but I cannot podcast and do color work. That's not a thing I can do. I can barely color work and watch TV. So that's aside. And then I've been knitting the Impressionist shawl, but I'm also getting to the Lisi portion. I can't podcast with that anymore. So that's to the side. So that brings us to today, when I need another project on the go that's kind of portable. And I need something that I can actually podcast with. So I am working on a shawl that is called A Random Act of Kindness by Wolf and Fawn Knits. This is actually a free pattern on Ravelry. It is an asymmetric shawl in DK weight. And I am knitting it out of Madeline Tosh, Tosh DK in the colorway. And I know all of you will be shocked after my confession a few weeks ago. Bird is the word.
Gee. Couldn't see that coming.
I can't help it. I mean, it doesn't hurt that the color is actually really pretty. It's like a cream with speckled with like oranges and very dark blues and grays. And I love it. I think it's really pretty. The pattern is super simple, and it's designed to really kind of showcase a speckly yarn. So far, I'm actually really enjoying it. It's kind of odd, because when I first held it in the skein, it was wound very tightly, and I thought, oh, this is going to be like kind of a more durable yarn.
Mm-hmm.
And I started knitting it, and it's actually extremely pleasantly squishy. I'm knitting it on US 8s, which is kind of a size I like to do DK on. But I'm really enjoying it so far. I did not swatch for this project. I know. I just hauled off and did it. I had way more yarn than I need for it. So I'm fair. Like, I'm not going to worry about it. And it's a shawl. So as long as I have more yarn than I need, I don't really need to worry about swatching.
Living dangerous.
I didn't swatch for the head either.
You know, I thought of that when you said, I'm waiting to see how it blooms. But I was like, I'm not going to call her out like that on the podcast. That would be mean.
What I did was, is I'm making the size below that fits me.
because I have I have a big head. Mm-hmm. So I'm making the normal size. And then if it blooms, it'll fit me.
Do you see what we've become? Do you see what we've become?
I know.
We were supposed to be like the last line.
I've been influenced.
On the swatch. And both of us were just like, whatever this time. It is what it is.
I'll do a swatch after.
Yeah, I measure it after. Well, kind of, because then you can, I mean, you kind of have to because you're a designer.
Yeah, I have to.
I do not. So, but you know, on a whole, I'm enjoying it and I'm actually using it on a mini minder that Jess can probably talk about way better than me because I just started using it tonight. It's like a, it almost looks like a little top that holds your yarn.
And it spins the yarn.
So it doesn't get tangled. And I am liking it, but again, I haven't used it very much. Jess can.
I was going to ask if you, do you pull from the outside?
I am pulling from the outside. You can't pull from the middle because.
Because that's where the stick goes through the middle.
No yarn barf.
Oh.
Zero yarn barf.
No, the most that happens is every once in a while, like, the yarn will, when you stab it through, will pull it up, and all you have to do is kind of loosen it and pull it back out, and it's fine.
Like, no, thank you.
It's really awesome.
I do not like yarn barf. So.
Jess?
I'm making borbs.
We're back to the borbs.
And felting, because I did a whole lot of knit and crochet. I did a jellyfish. I crocheted a jellyfish. And
two color work hats.
I did two color work hats because I was trying to create a new gradient and I had to figure out how that works. So I got two color work hats and I did the color work
cowl.
And I'm still working on the dije vest and I'm in that like the body part and I'm near the end and I thought I was at the end and then I realized I was like 3 inches short and I was like, well, I'm gonna felt something now.
You should have. We were at her grandparents' house for Memorial Day picnic on Sunday and like she's sitting there working on it with this face of abject misery as she just does row after row of stockinette. It's like, I've never seen anyone look
like
so tortured stockinette, while they knit.
Stockinette, and then there's like a beautiful 32 stitches of like cables, and then it's stockinette again.
She did. And she looked endless. Quite miserable.
So I'm taking a break from that again, on and off. I mean, I still work on it, but I wanted to work on birds, and I made a parrot and a crow and a jambu fruit dove, and now I'm doing a dragon because reasons. I am working on the felting studio has like these cool like medieval-esque kits, so I'm doing a chickadee.
Nice.
Of that too.
Yeah, that's almost done, isn't it?
Yeah, I've got like leaves, so I'm making borbs.
Drea?
I am still working on the Arachne shawl by Claire Slade / Verily Knits.
It's getting there.
It is. I finished the body of the spider, second spider. Unfortunately, I've come to the end of another row and my stitches don't line up. So.
Oh, no.
Yay.
You know, I have to say, like, it feels like if you take just a slight attention away from it, all of a sudden it just,
it's like,
it gets mad. And I say that, and that's why I don't bring that anymore with me to the podcasting, because I feel like as soon as I could feel so confident about what I'm doing. It's just like, nope.
Well, I was having a lot of like good days back to back. And over like 3 days, I did most of this second spider.
Yeah.
And then I got to the end of this row and I was supposed to have like a certain number of stitches left over before I do the knit front and back, knit one. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't there by one stitch. And I don't know if it's that I didn't do the knit front and back in the previous row.
Yeah, I've done that before. And I actually will ladder down and just do the knit front and back and then go back up instead of redo. Because the rows are getting so long that I don't want to redo the entire row. Or two rows, because you have to go back twice to get back. Yeah. So
I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I'm waiting for another good day because I've had a lot of bad days over the past couple weeks and my skin is still like super sensitive, so I really haven't done any knitting in several weeks now, which is a bum, but I'm hoping to like power through it in the next coming weeks, because I do want to finish this project before the make along concludes. And I think I can do it because I've had a good like couple of days. My skin's still like super sensitive, but like my head is clear, so I know I'm on the road to like getting back together.
I'll applaud you. That.
It's not been fun. No. If you are interested in Madeline Tosh yarn or the Mini Minder, head on over to jimmybeanswool.com. And also check out our website, pardonmystash.com, for more information as well as pictures regarding our current projects, patterns, and yarns. So welcome to this week's episode of the podcast. And this week we are going to be talking about habits that crafters have that non-crafters do not have and may possibly think that we are weird for doing.
Just possibly.
I thought you had to be weird as a prerequisite to get into crafting.
That is extremely true. And I have no idea who listens to our podcast. I mean, I know that it's mostly, you know, crafters and all that, but I feel like there are some people out there that think that crafters are just like regular people with hobbies.
No. The eccentrics go to the crafting community.
Yeah.
There's crafting and then there's crafting.
If you're listening to our podcast, you're probably weird too. It's okay. We love you.
Oh, no, we embrace you. Thank you.
We are, in fact, your people.
We are, yes. We're here. We're weird. Get used to it.
Join us as we go on this journey through all of our weird habits that we do
together
in public.
My number one habit that I do all the time that drives, I don't know if it drives my husband nuts, but he definitely like
comments on it.
Yeah. Is like, you know, like you ever hear like construction guys when they see things that they've built when they're driving down the road?
Oh yeah.
And they gotta tell you, I've done that. Yeah. So, I'll see people's like sweat, any kind of knitted anything, I'd be like, I know what stitch that is.
Yeah.
I know what that is.
Yeah.
I'll see if you recognize the pattern in public.
Yeah. Pattern or stitch.
Yep. Oh, I know that sweater.
I'm calling it each time.
And I know that shawl.
And then it's just my husband going, uh-huh.
Do mine eyes deceive me or is that a noop?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah.
That is a nope.
With some nice seat stitch right there.
I absolutely do that. I also, when I'm going like clothing shopping, if like Frank is with me, and I know that you mentioned this before we started recording, but I also do it. Mm-hmm. And I grope clothing.
Yeah.
Like on the rack.
Yeah. Kind of too long. That makes
you kind of too long.
Then like people look at you and
well, don't
like,
make it weird.
No, I do make it weird.
I also make it weird. And I don't know about you, but I'm going, you know, what kind of gauge is this? Can I do this myself? What is the stitch count on this? And what is this made out of? And I know that the last one, I can always look at the tag. But I never do.
Nope. I'm going to use my nice hand and feel it out. Just feel it out. Am I sensing a touch of cotton in here?
Like when I'm like, can I do this color work pattern? Can I graph this?
Can I sneak a quick picture?
Can I find it online?
So in the line of making it weird, one of my coworkers has this absolutely gorgeous sweater that she wears pretty often in the winter. And it's like this heather green sweater, but it has this gorgeous lace pattern, like panel going down the front of it. And every single time I see it, I'm like, how weird would it be for me to ask her, can I just like take a picture of your of your sweater?
Just the just front.
So I, look, I don't need your head or anything. I just need this.
So I can.
I don't want your face.
So I can like figure out how to do. I'm like, I bet you I
does
can
that
figure
make it
that
more
out.
Weird or less
yeah,
weird?
No, like, it's weird. It's all weird. And I have never asked.
but I look at it all the time and I'm like, oh my God, I would love to make that. And I feel, and it doesn't look super complicated.
But I bet I can figure it out.
You know what I'm going to do instead, though? I'm going to look in the Stitch Bibles that I have and try to find something similar and then just replicate it so I'm not weird, because I don't want to be weird.
This is when she listens to the podcast.
I guarantee you she does not listen to the podcast.
That'd be funny, though. And then she just comes up to you and be like, Meg, it's okay. You're not weird. Just take the picture.
None of my coworkers knit. No, it makes me sad. It saddens me. I wish they did, but they don't. Not anymore.
Jess?
Hold on. I just stabbed myself because I wasn't paying attention. I moved my needle.
If anybody is wondering, because I can hear it, Jess is felting right now.
Yeah, so if you're in like a little... That's me stabbing the hell out of this ball.
And apparently her fingers.
And my finger, because I didn't realize how thin I had the tail of this thing yet, but... No, like I said, my biggest thing, it really is, like, I look at color work kind of things, or I'll look at things and be like, can I do an 8-bit, like, Nintendo game and then make a color work thing out of it? And I probably could, but would that be too many colors? Can I two-color that? And that I never do because I don't have the patience to sit down and do it. Like, I've gotten stuff started. But I do.
Have you ever, like, stood there too long in the store trying to figure that out?
Probably. But, I mean, to be fair, a lot of those things for that is, like, the nerd stores are everyone's a little awkward anyway. So I feel like they're like, yeah, just fair. Give these people their space. Like, let them admire that Zelda shirt. They don't know. It's all good.
Admire it with a 1,000-yard stare. You're not even looking at it. You're looking past it.
At that point, I'm not even thinking about like the thing I'm originally thinking about. I'm like 5 projects down. But yeah, that there is that. There's, oh God, like Christmases when it's the ugly sweater season. Do you ever like look at those and think, I could do this, but would it be worth the time?
No. On both counts, really. I don't do that, and no, it would not be worth it to me.
But I haven't found a Jurassic Park ugly sweater that I liked yet.
If it's not a fake print, you know.
A lot of them are fake print now. Yeah, they're like screen printed. I'm wearing one right now, kind of.
She is.
Yeah, but if it's not like a screen print or something like that, then no, Jess, I can admit that I will sit there and be like, I don't know if that's worth my time.
I have a lot of Seahawks ugly Christmas sweaters.
That's
like,
fair.
I have a ridiculous amount of number ugly Seahawks sweaters. Like, I have more than what I need. But never once have I sat there and said, I should do this myself. Never once. I feel like that is so much work. I feel like that is so much effort. And they are like machine knit and they're like actual color work.
Oh, yeah. No, that's it. But a lot of them are. But what if there was one that you wanted, but they didn't make? That's what I mean. Like,
see, I feel that way about like a Debo sweater. Like, I would really enjoy a Debo.
So
he's my favorite.
I have an action green holiday sweater, and it's a color work sweater with Richard Sherman's face on
yes,
it.
Yes, best.
Which I love and I adore, but I am also readily admitting that it is quite scary to look at.
Oh, yes. I've got one with Andrew Luck, and it's the same thing. You know, yeah. You're like, whoa.
Yeah, the color work doesn't really do them a favor.
No.
It really doesn't. Like you know, they tried, but it's not good.
I love that sweater. I wear it at home.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Fairly speaking, Sherman is not on that team anymore. He's not on the team anymore.
Also true, but still.
I have one that I'm kind of embarrassed to admit because I know that it makes people probably not like me.
Go on.
Go on. Just
so you know, as soon as you say this, friends off.
Okay, good. Good to know. So when people who are not crafters are talking and start talking about crafting in casual conversation and say the wrong thing, I have to correct it.
Oh, no, we can still be friends. I do that too.
No, because like they were like, yeah, you know I don't know, like they'll be talking about, I would really love a crocheted baby blanket. And the thing that they're looking at is definitely knit. And I'm like, oh, no, that's knit. And they're looking, okay, knit, whatever. And then they just like get annoyed at me. And I'm like, oh, it's not whatever. Knit and crochet are two different things.
It's true, though.
Very, very.
And
different.
It bothers me.
It's true. Like Frank's friends, they have this beautiful Transformers blanket.
Ooh.
That somebody made for them.
Aww.
And it's beautiful. It's like, it's a work of art. Like, yeah. Whoever made that for them did a really good job. And every time I'm over there and they see me knitting, the blanket has to come out for once.
You're like, we've already gone through this, but it's okay.
And they always go, and so-and-so knit this for us. And it was just so kind of them. And I'm like, yeah, they crocheted that for you. No, no, no. They knit this for me. No, no.
Just that was that, done with a hook, my friend.
Just say that they crafted it for you.
Let's agree to disagree.
They handmade it.
No. Yeah.
I don't know if you guys remember this. This was a long, long time ago. I think I was either in middle school or high school. But there were these commercials by Quilted Northern.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. You know what I'm going to say?
And they were, like, quilting the toilet paper, but they were using knitting needles.
Yes. Yeah,
and my really mother, weird. A quilter, got so irate. Like, I mean, irate.
Guys.
At this commercial. Like, she really got mad. She's like, you don't quilt with knitting needles. Who did this?
It was
and
really
then, like,
weird.
A few months later, they changed it, and the little old ladies were, like, sewing the toilet paper instead. Yeah. And she was like, okay.
Somebody called complained.
No, no, no. Not somebody. Many somebody.
Many somebody.
Many, oh, yeah. Many somebody's called in and complained. But I remember she was so mad about it. And like, I get that.
Do you guys remember? It's obnoxious. What was it? Liberty Mutual?
Yes.
Where?
Yep.
That was interesting because they had the finished crocheted projects and the guy was knitting a currently correct knitted project. And I'm like, why didn't you just follow through with one or the other?
like they came so close.
Like the guy is actually knitting.
Yes.
But the projects are actually what is happening?
Yes. That is what happened.
I was so confused. When that commercial came out, I was like, huh?
Swing and a miss.
Because like you, at first you're excited. You're like, all right, he's knitting.
He's doing a good job.
Great.
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to pull out some of the
And they're like, wait. Yep, and you know, maybe he was just like branching out, but they make it seem like it was all the same.
Guys, it just feels like spreading misinformation.
We're just trying to get the truth out.
The other thing, I think all crafters do that though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everybody will.
Any
call you
hobbyist
out.
In general, I think, really, if you think about it, is probably
just pushing the glasses up on the nose.
Like, listen.
Well, actually.
The other thing too is that both knitters and crocheters tend to think that their hobby is the easier.
Yes.
Of the two. Like a knitter will say, I could never crochet. It's too hard. And crocheters are like, oh my God, like knitting is the hard one. Like, what are you talking about? We all tend to think that the one that we do is the easier one.
I've heard that. And I have always been of the mind that crochet is easier than knitting.
Jess?
It depends on what you're doing. Crochet goes faster in most cases because a lot of times you can double or triple up your stitches. But if you do that, then you don't really have, like, you have more openings and whatnot. So garment wise, you can't really do that as often. Noops are easier with crochet.
Yeah, I bet.
But there are a lot of things like color work, absolutely a pain with crochet.
I can't even imagine crocheted color work.
It's a pain.
Like, I can't even imagine.
And if you don't carry the yarn right, there's like obvious
leaps. That sounds like a huge nope to me.
So it is. It depends on what you're doing and what your project is.
I also think that it's a case of whatever you learn first.
Yeah.
Is the one that will be easier for you.
Hmm.
Because, I mean, whatever you're learning first, you're obviously putting in more time. You know, we've all of us at this table, I mean, minus Jess, I mean, we've put in over a decade to knitting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of course, crochet is going to be hard. We're used to knitting.
I was just thinking, I'm like, oh, my God, I literally 2 decades at this point.
Yeah.
2 decades I've been knitting. And I've been crocheting for, if you think about it, maybe 4 weeks out of the past year. And it's really hard. It's hard. I'm not. No, absolutely not.
I am starting to
there's a lot of machine knitting projects that are a benefit from a crochet finish.
Yeah.
And so I've been haphazardly trying to crochet, and I think I have the gist of it, but my technique is very poor, and I have also really poor tension. So I'm trying to like figure that out right now. But I feel like I have like gum in my hands, and I don't know what I'm doing.
I feel like we also tend to forget like how bad we were when we started, and how hard it was when we started, and how we felt like we had like three hands at once when we were trying to knit, and everything was difficult, and our tension was lousy, and everything we knit came out like garbage.
Yes,
because we're so far removed at from that point, now. It's easy now. Of course it is, because we've had all the years to develop the muscle memory.
So another thing that I do often is when I see a good bag, I go, oh, that's a good bag for knitting. Oh, that's a good project bag.
That's a good project bag.
Oh, it could literally be, it could literally be anything. It could be like a little zip pocket from an Amazon order. And I'm like, oh, that's a good project bag. And then I like make a stack of them. And I'm like, why? I don't need this bag.
No, the Amazon pouches are becoming a problem for me, because like when I order clothes from Amazon now, they send it in the zippy pouches.
Yes.
And every time I get a new zippy pouch, I'm like, oh, I can store a project in here. Yeah. Do you know how many zippy pouches I have now?
You only knit one thing at a time. You already have too many bags.
Oh, no. I don't use them as project bags. I use them as project holders, like finished projects.
Time out.
Oh,
finish?
Yeah, finished projects.
I got
like
you.
Like storage bags.
Oh, well, that's a good thing, though. Like, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that. Keep accumulating those.
I have so many.
Oh.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that, honestly.
I have always just kind of had a pile of finished objects that move around my craft room, and I don't know what to do with them.
No, and that's a good idea for keeping dust and moths.
That's why I started doing it, because I was like, this will help preserve stuff, and I won't have to worry about it like getting out or, you know, fading. Like I save the ones that are like opaque, the ones that you can't see through.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know what other ones are really good? Curtain bags.
Yeah.
Oh, those are A+.
Those are nice.
Those are like the granddaddy of the zip plastic bags, I'm telling you right now.
I have saved a few of those to put large quantities of the same yarn in, like sweater quantities.
Oh, yeah. To save like for a project or something. Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do with it. I mean, eventually one day, but at least they're all together.
They're family.
I have gone from, that's a good box, I can't throw that away, to, that's a nice bag.
Okay.
gotta keep that.
So ever since I've been doing Yarn Saver and selling the secondhand yarn, I literally have a stack of used boxes in the doorway of my craft room, because I do go through them. They do go, like, it dwindles. But sometimes it like I don't have a couple orders for a little bit, and then I like order some Amazon stuff and it just like builds up. Yep. Right now the stack is pretty high, so I'm just like, but yeah, I have a stack of, and it's not all Amazon boxes. It's just any kind of box that I get, and I'm like, oh, this could be a good
box,
a good shipping
to
box. Reuse
this
for shipping. And I'm like, yeah, because it's like I've looked at and I have purchased boxes to ship, but it's so expensive and like.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
almost
no,
like, you've got
no.
these perfectly decent boxes just coming in from your own orders.
And
like,
you know what? It's a
box.
Secondhand yarn store, so
you might as well
box.
Be thrifty.
There you go.
So we actually just got a shipment of base yarn, and it came in a secondhand box that the distributor used to ship it to us.
Yeah.
So, you know what? Feel validated.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
if the big companies are doing it, like.
Listen, it's just it's good for the environment.
Right.
You're
no
reusing
need to throw
the boxes.
Away a really good box. I have another one.
Go on.
This is kind of judgy. I don't know if people do this. I do this.
I'm ready.
I have so many little stitch marker holders.
Yes.
I never put them back.
Nope.
They float around in the bottom of my project bags. They float around in my Notions cases. They never end up back, and then I curse and I can't find them and I get mad at myself. That's why I go through stitch markers so much.
When you say the holders, do you mean the case to hold the
stitch
markers?
Yeah, I have the one of those little, like, I think it's like a pill minder box.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And they're supposed to go in that.
Yeah. Do they go in that? No, they don't.
No.
They just go everywhere.
They go into the ether.
They go into the ether.
Yeah.
And yeah. And I get really mad, especially when they're my nice ones, but
and then I'll get yeah. you have
Jess, do you have a stitch marker? No, I do that so much.
Do you know how many times I'm out with
it's so bad.
Frank and his friends? And I'm like, did you see where I put this little thing down?
Yeah.
It's just like a little circle.
It's just a thing.
It looks like this.
Might have a bird attached to it.
Or a piece of cheese or something.
Or something.
Yeah, a pineapple.
And then you resort to being like, do you have a twist tie in your house? Yes. Can I use a twist tie, please? And you're like, I have 7,000 stitch markers somewhere.
But I can get an entire group of people on the floor looking for my stitch marker if I ask nice enough.
No, that's why I have children.
Also fair.
These are all adults.
No, I've definitely like
easier with kids. I have used your kids to look for stitch markers underneath your sofa.
Okay, my recliner sofa is notorious for eating things because it has a space when you, especially when you recline it. Yeah. And
well, the amount of things you find when you lift up couch cushions, though, you're like, oh, there's a whole like a circular needle set down here.
A whole circular needle.
Well, your recliners though.
Wow, what Chiaku said.
Like, look at that,
like in the back where the back meets the cushion, mm-hmm. like the back meets the seat, mm-hmm. there's that pocket,
yes,
and it holds
yeah
everything.
It's a fun surprise. I found a crochet hook I thought was like gone into the ether because I was cleaning out the couch and I was like, oh, my crochet hooks, I found them.
God.
You know, I would be better about when you're talking about the stitch marker holders. I feel like I would be better about even just the project bags like that. But I tend to put the project bags are all over the place. And then I have a drawer in my craft room where the project bags are supposed to live. And then I'm like, I have so many project bags, but then when I open it, all I see are the zipper, like secondhand project bags. And I'm like, no, I have nice ones. Where are the nice ones? And I'm like, and I have to like go through, you know, I have hooks that are holding current projects. Some of them are empty. Then I have like random empty bags on the craft table. And then there's like some by the, you know, the craft seating area by the window. And then there's some in the living room. It's just the bags are everywhere.
You know, we focus a lot on like hoarding yarn. Maybe we should just talk about hoarding anything that's possibly related to the craft, because apparently we all do that.
It's so hard though, too, because sometimes you're like, I haven't used this in 12 years, but what if when I throw it out, I need it?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. It's so hard.
I might need this exact yarn that's been discontinued for like 15 years.
And I only have like
20 yards of it.
Yeah.
But I might use it for an embellishment or something.
You
yeah.
never know.
I know.
I can't tell you how many times like I have put a yarn up on Yarn Saver and then I want to take it back down because I'm like, wait, what if I need it for
one day?
Right. No.
And I'm like, no. See,
I don't have a problem with leaving my bags all over the place. Like, I always know where all my bags are because I have one that is out and one, and all of them are in the bin because I'm only using one. But my problem is that I don't put the needles back.
Oh, yeah.
So God.
I finish a
project. Oh, my God.
And the needles just stay in the bag. Like, the bag goes where the bag is supposed to go, but nothing else does.
Do you know when I was looking for a stitch marker for Tina at the beginning of this episode, I opened up my Notions bag, and I must have 8 sets of interchangeable circular needles in that bag.
Yeah.
And we have sizes. A folder for them.
We do. We have an organizational system. Doesn't matter.
This is my Notions bag.
And it's full of needles, right? That sounds so bad. It's full of needles. Oh, no. Look.
Treya just rolled out like at
a
least
whole bunch. See, I never put the cords in there. Needles. At least you have the cords. I have the needles and then I can't find the cords and then I end up buying more cords on Amazon and there are probably cords all over this. This is so bad. This is so bad. Like, I'm finding things out about myself that I probably already knew.
There's part of a circular.
Oh, good.
There's part
That's
of a circular.
Good. Yeah. Nope.
Oh, here's the other one.
Guys, I don't
been looking for that.
I don't even know what to say at this point.
I just like pull out a fistful of circular needles.
Yep.
Listen.
Whole bunch of needles.
You never know when you'll need them in that Notions bag.
I also have a tendency of putting bags and bags and bags. If you've listened to prior episodes, you know that I take like 7 whips with me typically when I go out. Correct. I'm
That's
actually
a lot of whips.
Okay, but like you can all attest today I have what's it called?
It's a very small bag.
A very tiny little satchel.
Looks more like a clutch.
A clutch. Yeah, it's like my wallet essentially, and then I have one project bag with me. I feel naked.
Which is like really impressive.
I feel absolutely naked.
I was shocked. She walked through the door and I was like, oh, traveling light today.
But anyways, normally I have a giant bag. I have smaller ones and sometimes the bigger ones will have space inside their bags because I haven't fully made the project yet. So then I stuff all the smaller ones in the big one. And then I take that and I put it in a tote bag. And then sometimes I move stuff around and then suddenly I don't know which bag is in which tote or larger project bag. And then if I finish a project and then I put it inside another project bag because it's finished and empty now and I'm not home yet. It just, every so often I have to go to my craft room. I have to open up all of my bags and find all of the things that have been missing over the last year.
Reinventory.
Yeah, I do that with my needles.
Oh God.
Probably like once a year, I'll open up all my bags and find all of my missing needles. And it's usually when I need to find a certain size needle
and you find
that I did not put back where it belonged. That hasn't happened yet this year.
If we are at any sort of store and they have a mystery box of some kind, I go, please just don't think about it. Don't think about it. Please don't even look at it. Because the minute she sees like $10 mystery box, she's like, oh,
they could be so good.
What's that? 90% of the time, they're not.
That's not true.
They're not.
There's usually at least one cool thing in there.
No.
Yeah.
Most of the time, they're really not.
Maybe to you.
Oh my God. No, actually, the few times that I'm like, yeah, get that. You're like, oh no, that yarn is probably not my style. And I'm like, you haven't even looked at it. And she's like, yeah, but I'm picky about yarn. But if it's like, $10 crap mystery box, she's like, I bet there's something cool in there. I'm serious. I'm so serious.
It's true.
Yarn. And I'm sitting here like, well, if it's yarn and you don't like it, I mean, I bet I'll like it. And she's like, nah.
No. But if it's like notions.
The mystery box is not for you, Meg.
Listen, if it's notions, you never know.
Right.
You could get like cheese notions. You don't know. Like, the possibilities are endless.
It could happen.
Until you open the box and realize that you totally, whatever you had was totally not worth it.
Listen, sometimes there's cool stuff.
Also, there's something to be said for the enjoyment of the surprise. The
sure.
enjoyment of the finding out.
And yes. Sometimes there is no joy.
Do you guys calculate how many minutes of knitting you could have gotten done if you're sitting down and you didn't whip out your whip?
No.
So Frank and I went to go see Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes this weekend.
Oh, of course you did.
His choice, not mine.
Of course you did.
I see where this is going and it's hilarious.
It's not to say that it was not an enjoyable film,
but
it was all right. Not my choice again. But at the end of it, yeah, I was like, I could have gotten a substantial amount of knitting done. Substantial. It was not a short movie.
We waited till we watched this at home. I could have been comfortably knitting while I watched.
What's even funnier is that I'm not even knitting right now, and I still thought that.
I don't necessarily do that with knitting, but I do that with a lot of things. Like, if I have a meeting after work, I'm like, ugh. I could have, like, gotten in a
solid
55 minute walk out of this. Yeah. Like, I could have actually gotten like 3 lesson plans done in this period of time. Like, I don't always do it with crafting, but I definitely do it with other things where I'm like,
this time could have been spent.
Could have
so
spent this
better.
Time doing something else.
I did it today at my dermatologist appointment because it was supposed to be at 1:45 and I got there at like 1:35 and I was like, oh, that's not enough time. I don't want to pull everything out and then I have to put it right back in.
And then they were late.
She didn't see me until 2.
Oh, no. That was a lot of lost
which
time.
Which is fine. Like, whatever. She was backed up. But I didn't know she was backed up. Yeah. And I was like, I could have got a half hour. for it. I was so mad. Because every time I was like, I should pull it out, I'm like, ah, it's too late. It's too late.
If I pull it out, they'll call me in. That's the point.
So, okay, sometimes in those situations, that is when I pull it out. Especially when, like, it's taking forever. I'm like, all right, the minute I open this bag, they're going to call me back. And it happens every time, like clockwork. Lo and behold, my name is called.
Usually as soon as I sit down in a waiting room, even if I'm, like, if I'm early, if I'm on time, even if I'm a couple minutes late, immediately, I'll get two stitches in. I'll still be happy.
It is the way that it goes. That's when they call you back.
Well, then I'm like fumbling to get it into my bag.
Yeah, and
then,
you're like, oh God.
And then I'm chatting with the nurse that's bringing me in and I'm like, oh yeah, this is what I'm working on. Do you want to see it? And then I get to pull it out again.
I have another weird one.
Go on.
If I have to roll up anything, like even the hose, I roll it up like I'm winding a ball of yarn.
Yes.
I know that doesn't make any sense, but like I definitely do that. It could be the hose. It could be a piece of rope from the children's craft stuff. It all of a sudden you'll have these nice like yarn cakes. Looking cake yes. bottles just sitting around.
I do that with Frank's extension cords. They are very neatly wound.
Yeah, you learn a lot about winding when you're doing yarn projects.
It's a life skill, okay?
Listen, it helps things from getting tangled.
You're welcome.
There's no hose barf.
Does anybody else either cap their needles or I never have needle caps, shove their knitting all the way down on their needles, like as far as possible.
Yes.
So that, yep. Because I all do it both. Took was one time of stuffing it into your bag and somehow the edge fell off and all of a sudden you are
crying,
bereft.
And I think that is like half the reason why I do circular needles now.
Yeah. Well, they fall off the circs too, but
not as often.
If you push it down far enough, it's not as bad.
Yeah, if you push it down far enough.
You twist it a little bit.
Yeah, I usually push it down all the way, and then I will, like, weave the needles into the work. We ain't going nowhere.
There.
I think what we really have learned is we all have trust issues. That's
I mean, also fair.
Yes, and we're a little bit judgmental. Yes.
Yep.
I don't think we're alone in any of these feelings, though. I think that, you know, we're...
I feel like a lot of people are going to relate to a lot of this stuff.
It's either that or a lot of people are going to go, what the heck is wrong with you
guys? Yeah, that or we're just really weird.
And you're sitting there like, but then there's another crafter looking at you with suspicion. Will you be the one that pulls my project out too fast and loses all the stitches?
Shout out to my college roommate.
Oh,
who did that? Yes. She just picked it up. She's like, oh, this looks cool. And she like pulled the needle. And just granted, it was a garter stitch scarf, so it was not hard to put it back on. But I was like,
it's the principle of the thing.
You would think that Patrick is carrying a glass tray when he has to lift any of my projects. He's just like, his arms are like out and he's like, okay, hold on.
Yep.
Frank won't even touch my stuff.
If he has to, like if like whatever, I'm washing the dishes somewhere. I'm occupied where I really can't get up and do it. But I also try just not to put it in his space so he doesn't have to have a panic attack.
You know, at least he's conscious.
The only time Frank will touch my stuff is if it's in a bag.
Yeah.
And then he'll hand me the bag. But if I ask him to hand me my project, he's like,
how about no?
I'd rather not. That is it for this week's topic. For additional content and opportunities to connect with the cast, check out our website at partofmystash.com. Be sure to tune in next time for more laughs, love, and llamas at Part of My Stash.